98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
It's the one place you go every afternoon where you know you're going to get everything we've been talking about all day long here on the Burns and Gambo show. We call it the 4 o'clock reset. Rapid fire fashion through the top stories of the day. And Gambo, we start with John Calipari, the head coach of Kentucky. Coach Devin Booker in college came on today with Bickley and Murata and offered what might be a warning or what might be words of encouragement about Devin Booker.
I tried to tell the people in Golden State 2 years ago, you have no idea the ride you're on. Enjoy it. I would tell you, being able to watch him right now, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Get to those games, enjoy it, watch him. He, like all these other players, want to win. And right now, you're putting together a team that can win. It's not who I play with. It's can we win? With Anthony Davis, I was talking to a guy from, he loved New Orleans. He loved living in New Orleans. He loved the fans of New Orleans. He just didn't think they could win a championship.
Now, you focus, and you focus rightfully so on the part about it's not who you play with, it's whether you can win. I worried a little bit more about the Anthony Davis comp because it was almost like a warning shot, like a hey, be careful because he left.
People look at it differently. I saw that and I was like, yeah, just reinforced to me that Devin Booker's not about playing with Carl Anthony Towns and playing with D'Angelo. That doesn't matter. Put a good winning team around him. He can be friends with those guys for the rest of his life. He doesn't have to play on the same team with them.
Yep.
Okay, this isn't YMCA basketball. I'm going to sign up, but I need to be on J-Mo and Easton's team or I'm not playing. That's not what it is.
Nope, they just better not lollygag in putting that winning team around them because I don't think they have too much longer that they can afford to wait to put a winning team around them. I think they've got one more year next year under Monty Williams and the improvements they make in this off-summer or this off-season. By then, a year and a half from now, they better be poised to win because if they don't, then I fear the very worst when it comes to Devin Booker. ASU basketball, give the Bobby Hurley and the guys a little bit of a shout-out from last night's win over Stanford.
9 on the possession. Martin penetrates. Martin drives. Martin lays it up and in. A reverse over-the-shoulder layup by Remy. It's a 5-point lead. 28 seconds left.
74-69, and by doing so, according to Chris Cartman over at SunDevilSource.com, TeamRankings.com, has ASU as a 75% chance of getting in the NCAA tournament.
Man, this came out of nowhere. This winning streak came at the right time. That was a big win last night. I hate that these games are so late. Remy Martin's a great Sun Devil, but yeah, it'd be good to get ASU and U of A both in the NCAA tournament, and ASU is making a really late push, playing some great basketball at this point.
Yeah, they are, according to their net ranking, which has kind of taken over for the previous metrics that were used, that the tournament selection committee uses. ASU's win last night, they jumped up from number 54 to number 49 in the country in the net rankings, so they are starting to get there. Torrey Lovello asked the question today at D-back spring training. Is Starling Marte going to be your leadoff hitter this season?
Archie is possibly going to be our closer. That's pretty good. You know what? Last year around this time, I know that I was going back and forth with you. I probably had 10.
All right, we're having some issues with that audio, so we're going to stop playing that right there. So I'm not really sure what he said because I was going to listen to it for the first time.
Why would he not be the leadoff hitter?
I don't know. I don't know what he said.
He steals bases. He's fast.
I don't know. I don't know what he said. I have no idea what he said.
We don't need Lovello. Starling Marte is going to be the leadoff hitter for the Diamondbacks.
Coyotes.
We don't need Lovello. Oh, my goodness.
Archie.
Oh, here we go.
Possibly going to be our closer. that's pretty good. You know what? Last year around this time, I know that I was going back and forth with you. I probably had 10, 15, 20 lineups written out. I have not gotten to that point yet. I've probably written out one or two. And they're probably pretty similar to what you have in your head right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
He just hasn't gotten to it yet.
In my head, Starling Marte is the leadoff hitter.
But he will. He will get to it eventually. Coyotes lose last night to the Ottawa Senators.
Ooh, man, that team had lost 6 in a row. They're terrible. That's a bad. Brandt gave up an awful goal, that third goal. The Brady Tkachuk goal was just, Larson was just terrible on that. I mean, defensively, that's a bad loss. Calgary won last night. Vegas won last night. Nashville won last night. Minnesota got a point last night. I mean, this team is reeling. If they don't get Kemper back, I'm telling you, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they don't get Kemper back, Rant is not good enough, in my opinion, to take them. They get Washington tomorrow, but I mean, Ottawa was a game that you should have won. It's a bad Senators team.
And real quick, Tony Jefferson, former Arizona Cardinal, was released today by the Baltimore Ravens.
Spoke with him today. He told me he said he's just focused on getting healthy and balling out. He says he'll be cleared before training camp. He's aiming for June 1st. So I talked to TJ a little bit today. I think he'd like to come back here if the opportunity presents itself. And I think the Cardinals will kick the tires on that. It's just a matter of where does he play? Where does he fit in? Because they got a couple guys back there at safety that they like. You'd have to find a role for him.
But our top story of the day, Steve Keim this morning on with Newsmakers Week, Doug and Wolf. And on the topic of cutting David Johnson.
Cutting him is not an option. Not only the cap hit, but you're still paying the cash as well. Mm-hmm. So it's... You know, it wouldn't be responsible for me or the organization to do that.
It actually costs them more money against the cap to cut them than it does to keep him.
It's so stupid. Any conversation that people have had on cutting him is ridiculous. There's no way he's getting cut. It makes absolutely no sense. The only reason you would even contemplate it is if he was such a negative impact and such a a bad guy and a bad teammate and he could just hurt. And that's not him. He's a good person. David Johnson's not an issue. If he's not the starter, he'll be a backup, and that's just the way it's going to work.
Yeah, Steve Keim elaborated, saying, I still have faith in David Johnson.
I still have a lot of faith in David. You know, he's got tremendous skills. He's a great person. He works extremely hard. I think it was one of those things that when you look at the big picture and Chase got hurt, David got hurt, we made the trade, and then Kenyon Drake came in and he got the hot hand. And in any sport, I think that, you know, you see guys have success, and the way coaches are wired, the way you're wired to want to win and do well offensively, you go with a hot hand, and that's what happened last year.
But when pressed about trading David Johnson, and he was asked that question today as well when he was on with Doug and Wolf. Have you gotten calls about him yet?
Have you received phone calls already on David Johnson?
Come on, Bruce has had to bug you.
I'm not going to get into private conversations, but, you know, again, we have a lot of faith in David and think he can continue to play well and go back to what he did in 2016. The guy has got great skill. And a lot of times when people fail, you know, I think you look back and you say, well, you know what? He didn't work hard enough. He wasn't a good guy. He wasn't committed to it. None of that applies to David.
So then what is it? If it wasn't that he wasn't working hard and it wasn't that he wasn't committed, is it the system?
Don't we think that? Don't we think that's the number one reason why?
I used to be, and you know this, I used to wonder if it was the contract. I used to wonder if, because he certainly wouldn't be the first, and goodness knows he won't be the last guy in the NFL to get paid and then kind of dial it back down to 70% max effort, 80% max effort. It happens. Happens all the time in professional sports. But with the insistence that, hey, he's a good guy, he's a good guy, he's a good guy, and he is a good guy. If it's not that, the only thing I can think of is, and Wolfley has been talking about this for a couple of months now, that he is just not a guy designed in a system when Kyler Murray's going to put the ball in his belly and on Kyler Murray's discretion, leave it there or pull it out. That is not a system that benefits David Johnson. That David Johnson needs to know, I'm getting the ball on this play, not my quarterback is going to decide whether I'm getting the ball on this handoff or not, because that's what this offense is predicated on. He just might not fit an offense like that.
That's possible. I mean, I wouldn't discount that. Look, so I think he needs to change the scenery. Yeah, I think he needs to change scenery. I think he needs to go somewhere and get his confidence back. And we didn't play last season. It was a tough year. I mean, it's embarrassing in some ways, right? You don't even play in the final game of the season. You're healthy, but there is value for a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield the way he does. So they're not gonna cut him when he still has some value.
Supercuts, the official hairstylist of Major League Baseball, and with the 2020 season right around the corner, they're giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to the first day game of the season for the D-backs, Wednesday, April 1st against San Francisco. Text the word cuts to 620-620 to enter. Coming up next on the Burns and Gambo show and discussing the future of Devin Booker, John Calipari brought up Anthony Davis's departure from New Orleans. What was the intent behind that, other than to freak us all out? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Live from the campus of Grand Canyon University, Brazel Field, home of the GCU Loops baseball team, as tonight they open their season against Oklahoma State, and we appreciate the invitation from GCU to come out and hang out here in their beautiful stadium. I mean, it rivals really any of the finest Cactus League stadiums you're going to go to, this one is just as nice. It's a great, great place to watch a baseball game. Beautiful setting. Good opponent tonight. Oklahoma State, defending Big 12 champion for the first of three this evening. The weather should be fantastic. Good reason to come on out. Check out some college baseball with Andy Stankiewicz and the Lopes and what they're putting together around here.
And Andy Stankiewicz has a great team, and they've got a game tomorrow against Oklahoma State as well at 2 p.m., and then they've got a game Sunday against Oklahoma State at 1 p.m. So three games tonight, tomorrow, Sunday against Oklahoma State if you want to catch some college baseball.
Yeah, this note as we get ready for the All-Star break this weekend with Devin Booker. This comes from Matt Peterson. I've known Matt on social media for a while. He's at NBA.com. He's a Phoenix guy. He writes a lot about the Suns, tweets a lot about the Suns. He tweeted out about an hour ago that the Suns had listed Devin Booker's swingman all-star jersey on their online shop about 4 hours ago. They took it down, and he's assuming that they got overwhelmed with orders and they shut it down. And that's why they're not offering it anymore, because the listing had said, hey, supply is limited and nothing would be shipped for another week or so. And they might have been crushed with the demand for Devin Booker's all-star jersey.
I mean, that's just another thing, too, right? He comes back, and he's playing a game in early March, and he looks around the stadium, and, man, there's 100 Devin Booker all-star jerseys. Yeah. Like, that's why I didn't want to downplay this yesterday. I was talking to a friend. I was like, do you really think it was that big of a deal today? He was like, I didn't think of it. I'm like, yeah, man, I do. Like, I genuinely think that it's a big deal that he made the All-Star team. And it's just another example. Like, you know, for his confidence, I think Monty talked about that today when he was on with Bickley and Murata about the confidence level of Book. And, yeah, you play and you go and you see, man, people are wearing my All-Star jersey. Just brings his game to another level, I think.
So John Calipari, his coach at Kentucky, was a guest on the Bickley and Murata show today. And we talked about this in the 4 o'clock reset. We're going to flesh it out a little bit more here. People hear what you want to hear. And in this soundbite, there's a lot that you can pick out and choose to hear. And everybody might be right in hearing what they want to hear in this soundbite. But what John Calipari said was, hey, Phoenix, enjoy Devin Booker.
My first thought was, why isn't he getting the nod?
Sorry, that is the wrong soundbite. I keep doing that. Enjoy Devin Booker is what his message was to Suns fans. And Jordan, I think you're going to have to play it. Oh, there it is, right there.
I tried to tell the people in Golden State 2 years ago, you have no idea the ride you're on. Enjoy it. I would tell you, being able to watch him right now, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Get to those games, enjoy it, watch him. He, like all these other players, want to win. And right now, you're putting together a team that can win. It's not who I play with. It's can we win? With Anthony Davis, I was talking to a guy from, he loved New Orleans. He loved living in New Orleans. He loved the fans of New Orleans. He just didn't think they could win a championship. And that's why, and it had nothing to do with anything else. With Devin, enjoy it. He wants to win. And if I'm Phoenix, they're going to keep building to win. I mean, however it plays out, I think it'll play out the way it's supposed to.
It's interesting to me what you plucked out of that 53-second soundbite.
To me, and it's amazing how people look at it differently. I mean, the main thing is it's not about playing with friends. It's not about, hey, I want to go play with Carl Anthony Towns or D'Angelo Russell. I just want to win, man. I could be friends with those guys for the rest of my lives. They'll be my best friends. But I don't have to play with them in order to be their friends. I just want to win. And, you know, if I'm losing, I'm not going to be happy whether I'm with my friends or without my friends. And trust me, like, if Minnesota doesn't win, like, that friendship thing, like, okay, that's great. But then you start pointing fingers and, you know, things could get bad. So sure. I think, yeah, to me, that's what it was. I took that out of it, man. Just win. Don't worry about playing with friends.
You know what? I wouldn't have taken that out of it, but I'm glad you brought that up, because I was so overwhelmed by everything else of that soundbite. It wasn't until the third time I played it that I heard the it's not who I play with, it's can we win line that you were kind of referring to.
Yes.
And that is a valid point. That is the, hey, don't obsess about players and friends and all that stuff. It's the other stuff that just scares me to death. And I know it's stuff we all knew, but to hear his college coach say it, it makes me nervous. Okay, we all know they have to win, but when citing specifically Anthony Davis in telling a story about how you better enjoy Devin Booker, I don't know how you're not supposed to interpret that as, at the very minimum, a mild warning. Hey, careful.
enjoy Devin Booker. Almost as if to say, enjoy Devin Booker while you can, because look at what happened to Anthony Davis. He loved New Orleans. He loved everything about being in New Orleans, but they weren't winning, and he wanted out. Again, these are all things we know.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear it reinforced at that high a level from John Calipari, who presumably knows Devin Booker very well, it scares you a little bit, because he's citing Anthony Davis specifically as an example as to why Suns fans should enjoy Devin Booker right now. And that scares me. That scares me.
You know, sometimes you got to be leery when you hear things from other people, man. And it's all like we hear Booker say he's not happy. I don't, you know, we're always going to have that because we've been thinking it. Everybody's been thinking it, I'm sure. Because it's the NBA, and guys leave a lot. And guys ask out when they have 4 years left on their contract, sure. And they get out.
Well, and because we've said many times, too, you can't wait for him to say it. Because when he says it,
it's over.
It's over. It's done.
Yeah, but the only thing you can do is try to build a better team around.
I know, but you
to win.
But you have to, and I agree, but there are degrees to how fast you're doing that. And the Suns might have to try to do it a little faster. They might have to accelerate, and let's see what they do this summer, and let's see what impact that has. And if they've sold him on that,
they've sold him on the summer.
Because as Calipari said today, in addition to the part about not playing with friends and enjoy Booker while you can, he also said, look, if he trusts you, he will buy in completely.
He'll trust the process if he trusts the people involved. And I think at this job, the job Monty's doing with that team and with him personally, off the charts.
Now, that's encouraging for me to hear.
Sure.
I'm very encouraged by that.
And that was
because that buys you time if you're the Suns.
Yes. Yeah, that does. Now, I don't know how much time, right? But, like, okay, if they go from 19 wins to 32 wins, can't Booker say, man, that's a good improvement.
Sure.
But you got to do it again.
You got to do it again. And you got to go from 32 to 42.
You can't be Sacramento, like you said.
Yeah.
You can't take a step backwards now. It's got to be progressively, you got to take steps forward.
And
you can't take a step backwards.
I just hope James Jones, and I think he does, I hope he understands there needs to be some urgency to his actions. Not recklessness, but there's got to be some urgency to his actions, because if you don't improve at the rate that Devin Booker wants you to, the minute he says he's unhappy, it's over. It's over. You can't wait. Just because he hasn't said it yet doesn't mean we can wait for that day to happen, because when he does, it's done. It's done. But Calipari was thrilled that Booker got in.
My first thought was, why isn't he getting the nod first time?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy what he was doing, and they got to fix this East-West. He is an all-star. And what's going to happen next year when Curry and, guys come back all of a sudden? So I'm thinking, what would he have to do to get in the game?
Hopefully we don't have to find out next year. Hopefully he just gets in, because it might be tough. It might be tough.
But hopefully for me, what you said, if you get in that first time, and listen, his game's going to continue to get better too, right? I mean, look at the improvements he's made just from last year to this year, efficiency-wise.
A lot of it depends on them too.
Yeah. I think
most of it probably depends on them and how they win, if they win, right?
Yeah,
if they win games, it's going to be easier for him to get in.
Listen, there are some guys that only make the All-Star team one time. There are some guys that only make it two times. And there are some guys that end up going 10 times. I don't know which Booker's going to be.
He has only started 8 games for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Why are some suggesting that Zach Gallen could be the anchor of this rotation? We'll tell you why they're suggesting it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, let's send it on back to the Auction Community Studios and find out from Mitch what our Twitter poll question of the day is today here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, Mitch, she's in for Sarah today. She's vacationing in San Francisco, I think I saw on her Twitter account, so that's awfully nice. What's our Twitter poll question of the day today?
Can I just preface and say how happy I am baseball's back and that we have a baseball-related Twitter question?
You may. You may opine about such things. That's fine. I am, too. I'm very happy baseball's back.
Well, now we need to break down a position on the D-backs. You mentioned it in the tease. Starting pitcher. So who do we think will be the best starter for the D-backs this year? Madison Bumgarner, Robbie Ray, Zach Gallen, or other?
I'm going to play the odds and say Bumgarner.
I think that's the, you know, if you're playing the odds, that's probably your best bet. But
I'm going Bumgarner.
I think there are other possibilities, you know, given that Bumgarner has been arguably in a little bit of a decline the last couple of years, and that Zach Gallen or a healthy Luke Weaver could be potentially better. But I'm going to play the odds, say Bumgarner.
Well, me too.
Well, the odds are with you guys on that one. 52% say Bumgarner. There is about 32% on Zach Gallen, 12% for Ray, and a lot of people chiming in on others saying it should be Luke Weaver, but that's at about 4%.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's going to get a lot of the vote. There was, as he does, as the, you know what, credit to all the beat guys who cover the Arizona Diamondbacks on a daily basis, whether it's Nick Pecoro over at AZ Central, Steve Gilbert at MLB.com, or Zach Buchanan at The Athletic. They all really do a good job of covering that team and providing content on a daily basis. Today, the story that caught your attention was one from Zach Buchanan over at The Athletic about Zach Gallen. And in particular, I want to read this little chunk of the story to you. The D-backs may have signed Bumgarner over the offseason. Luke Weaver may now be healthy, and Robbie Ray may have dropped 20 pounds. But it's Gallen who is the odds-on favorite to be the D-backs' best starting pitcher in 2020. Reliever Archie Bradley sees comparisons to the Cardinals phenom Jack Flaherty, the former teammate of Gallen's who broke out last year with a 2.75 ERA and a fourth-place Cy Young finish. Quote, "You're going to talk about Gallen like people talked about Flaherty last year," close quote, Archie Bradley said.
Yeah, you know what? And we looked at other players. You know, you look at Nola with the Philadelphia Phillies, who kind of, you look at Walker Buehler with the Dodgers, right? Just a couple of years ago, it was, you know, not too long ago, it was Kershaw and Greinke with the Dodgers. And all of a sudden, now it's Buehler. I mean, where was Nola just a few years ago? And now he's the ace of that staff. So guys can burst onto the scene. It happens all the time. Like, you know, Severino with the Yankees. I mean, there are guys that kind of come out of nowhere. Maybe they pitched the first year, they pitched in 7 or 8 games. Oh, I like that guy's got potential. And then before you know it, the guy's winning 15 to 17 games. He's become the ace of your staff. And there's a potential that Gallen could be that next guy. That he could be the Buehler, the Flaherty, the Nola, the Severino. He could be that guy that just, because he has great stuff, he just hasn't done it over a full season.
And that's what makes you nervous.
And that's, not nervous. That it makes you nervous, it makes you reluctant to say,
it makes you unsure.
You're reluctant to say he's going to be great. He's going to be the guy. Because you're just not sure.
Tore Lavello yesterday, what has he told Gallen that he needs to improve on?
No, you know what, I'll keep that between he and I, you know, it's a time where we share some really good, valuable information with one another. I don't think it's a pitch mixture. I think, you know, maybe the one topic was finishing off hitters when you have the ability to, because he's got that type of stuff.
He does. He last year, and again, limited time, he threw only 43 2/3 innings for the Diamondbacks. Seems like a lot more, but that was it. And in those 43 2/3, he struck out 53 guys. He pitched to a 2.89 ERA. WHIP was a little high, you know, too many base runners. That was one issue that I noticed with him last year, a tendency to put some guys on and have to wriggle off the hook a little bit, right? But, boy, we had this conversation about Gallen a couple of weeks ago, and I think I shocked you when I said that I wouldn't be shocked if at the end of the year Zach Gallen had more wins and a better ERA than Madison Bumgarner. I'm not going to count on it. I'm not going to bet anything of significance on it. But would I be shocked? No, I wouldn't be shocked. Bumgarner, I'm so curious about what he's got, given that his road ERA has been so poor the last couple of years, and you take him out of that ballpark, what's he going to be? I still believe in the person, but I kind of want to see, is his decline steady, or is it going to happen in big chunks? Whereas Gallen, he's at the total other end of his career.
He's on his way up.
Just the complete opposite part of that spectrum. And it's exciting to see what he can be, because when he was here last year, it was fun. Watching him last year, it was like, oh, the Diamondbacks just stole this guy. From Miami.
Do you remember when we thought that Robbie Ray would pass Zach Greinke as the number one ace on the Diamondbacks?
I do remember that. It was after Greinke's first year here.
It never happened.
Nope, never happened.
But we thought it could.
We did think it could.
So that's where
a really good, I like where you're going with that. Yes.
That's why I'm gonna go with Bumgarner right now, is that he's gonna be the best starter. Because
It's hard. Like, it's hard it's to hard. Make that jump to be an ace.
Yes.
I mean, there's only 32 of them in all baseball.
Yeah.
The true number one aces.
There's a few more than that. Some teams have more than one.
Some teams have none.
Some teams have none. That's a good
Some
point.
Some teams have none.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be 25 to 30. When you think about it, so to be, I mean, is Zach Gallen one of the 30 best pitchers in all of baseball? That's a lot to ask for a kid like that.
And I don't ask for him to make that leap this year. He might not need to be an ace to be better than Bumgarner, right? He doesn't have to be an ace necessarily. Does he end the year as a better pitcher than Bumgarner? That doesn't necessarily make you an ace. Yeah, but you're right. After Greinke's first year, we kind of felt like Robbie Ray was ready to take that mantle from him, and we were dead wrong.
We were
dead flat wrong.
Robbie looked,
he wasn't, and Zach Greinke wasn't ready to relinquish it. Zach Greinke's ability to reinvent himself after that kind of choppy first year here, that was impressive.
Don't you think that Bumgarner's going to be the same way?
I hope he is. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, let me ask you this: good or bad?
Ooh,
is it good or bad if Gallen passes Bumgarner as the ace of the staff?
Hmm. I think ultimately it's bad
because it would mean that Bumgarner is not capable of being the number one that you're asking him to be.
It means that Bumgarner is probably not as good as you thought he was going to be if that happens. Unless Zach Gallen, and my answer to that question is predicated off the idea that as good as I think Gallen is going to be, I don't think he's going to establish himself as an ace in his first full year with the Diamondbacks.
No.
As like a true number one pitcher in Major League Baseball. So as long as I don't think that's the ceiling for him this year, maybe next year, but not this year. I think it'd be bad. Answer your own question.
I would say the same thing.
Okay.
I think it would be bad. What you really want more than anything is a 1-2 punch. And if Gallen can be the 2 punch, then I'm completely satisfied. 100% satisfied.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a chance that Luke Weaver could be better than Gallen?
Oh, sure.
So there's just a lot of unknowns now.
You know what? I don't want to, as crazy as, even though I think he's a known commodity, I am intrigued by Robbie Ray minus 15 pounds. Just to see, I am. I mean, just to see how much, if we talk about him going deeper into games, not that he was physically wearing out, but if we talk about him going deeper into games as the definitive Robbie Ray problem,
yeah,
I would be curious what Robbie Ray minus 15 pounds, what that looks like in terms of 5 1/3 versus 7 innings pitched in a game.
I'm glad he's trying to do something.
Yep.
I'm glad that there was a change. He recognizes this. He pitches well this year. He's gonna make $100 million.
How about that? How's that for pressure?
Yeah.
Hey, if you have a good season, you're gonna make $100 million.
And if you don't, you won't.
And if you don't, you'll still probably make 60 and you'll be okay. Right? And if you don't, bad news, you're gonna make $60 million instead if you're just average. Okay, that's not bad either, but the $100 million doesn't suck. The All-Star Weekend in Chicago has become of great, great interest for all of us here in Arizona. But even Devin Booker's presence will be overshadowed by one thing the next few days. We'll tell you what that one thing is next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Opting to forego college, he was the 13th pick by the Charlotte Hornets in 1996, but quickly traded to the Los Angeles Lakers, where he spent his entire 20-year career establishing himself as an all-time great. Teaming with Hall of Fame coach Phil Jackson and Hall of Fame center Shaquille O'Neal, he won 3 consecutive NBA championships by the time he was 23. Later, he would lead the league in scoring in consecutive seasons, and in 2008, won the league's MVP award. He then returned to 3 more NBA finals, winning 2 more titles and earning finals MVP awards for both. A 5-time NBA champion and 18-time All-Star, he also won Olympic gold medals with Team USA at the Beijing and London Olympics. Considered one of the greatest to ever play the game and named a finalist by the North American Committee as a player, and we sure wish he were here today. Kobe Bryant.
That was part of the video tribute that was shown at the Kobe Bryant and the rest of the Hall of Famers who are now finalists and the headliners of the class of 2020. Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan,
Kevin Garnett among those who were named as finalists today. And that's kind of what we were teasing in the segment going into this segment about Devin Booker in the All-Star game is this is going to be Kobe Bryant's weekend, right? And we saw the announcement. We just heard it a second ago. Kobe Bryant and them running through the highlights of his career. Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett also in there. This whole weekend is going to be one giant league-wide tribute to Kobe Bryant. And while it's cool for us here in Phoenix that Devin Booker gets to be a part of an All-Star game, I imagine his presence there is really dwarfed by just what's going down this weekend, Kobe Bryant and all of that.
Well, I would think that that's a great angle, too, like for him to be there and, you know, be able to celebrate Kobe and be a part of it with all those other great players. Because all of those players, right, almost when you start to, there's a lot of guys that have been in this league for a long time. Those guys all know Kobe.
They were all influenced by him. Sure.
Influenced by Kobe.
All of them.
In some way or another. And some of them are great friends with Kobe. And that, you know, Devin's got a personal relationship with
Absolutely.
Kobe. So, you know, you don't want to be left out of that. You want to be a part of that. So him making the All-Star game, it's just another added benefit for him to be there.
Yeah. Monty Williams on the Bickley and Murata show today on the confidence that Devin Booker's appearance will give him in the second, well, I was going to say the second half of the season, the last 27 games of the season.
Well, I think it gives him confidence that the league, especially the players, know who he is and what he's done, but also his standing. It does a ton for him as a player. It's going to be a great experience for him just to be in Chicago and be around all of the legends and all of the former players and all of the fans who are going to recognize him and appreciate his game.
He did get a welcome at Devin Book ! Tweet from LeBron James. Well deserved, G, and then the hashtag Team LeBron. So LeBron James certainly welcoming Devin Booker into his team in his first All-Star appearance with open arms.
Yeah, LeBron, yeah. And you know, listen, the fact that he's playing on Team LeBron is great too, right? Because, you know, LeBron has a respect for Devin, has always liked his game, and maybe in some ways has, you know, had an influence on him the way Kobe did. You know, I think Devin would say that. So to be a part of that team is going to be special. But it is good to see guys step out. And it was Damian Lillard started it, right? And actually, it started before Damian Lillard, when guys like Trae Young, you know, thought that Devin got jobbed. And then Steve Kerr, you know, just recently at the game when they played Golden State and won that game the other night, saying that I voted for Devin Booker, making it well known that I voted for Devin Booker. And then Booker making the team, and you're seeing, you know, people, you know, with that accomplishment, like LeBron coming out and, you know, speaking highly of Devin Booker. I think that's all great.
Yeah, as far as Monty Williams goes, he was asked what's impressed him the most in the time that he's spent around Devin Booker so far. Again, this is from Bickley and Murata earlier today.
His efficiency has been the most glaring thing that stands out. I mean, most two guards, shooting guards, wing players don't shoot 50% from the field. And when you look at the number of threes that he takes and playing in blitzes, the other thing for me is, I've said it before, Devin doesn't duck a matchup. You know, a lot of these guys who play that position won't guard the strongest wing player night in and night out. Devin does that. And to have that kind of energy and will says a lot about his competitive drive and how much he wants to win.
Yeah, I read our own Kellen Olson wrote a story today about Book and how I think the line Kellen used was Devin Booker is about to be a superstar in this league. The league just doesn't know it yet. And hopefully, because not, let's be honest, the Suns have not been exactly a beacon of national media attention for the last few years.
They were at 7-4, though, weren't they?
They were, oh, yeah.
Weren't they at 7-4?
Sure.
Man, everybody was writing about the Suns, man. They were getting so much love. I wish I would have printed out all those stories and saved them because they didn't know how the season was going to go. But that was the first time in a long time they had received a lot of national attention for how well they played.
You know, you can still find them, right? You don't need to print them out. You can go on the old Google machine and, you know.
I don't even know what to. I wouldn't even know what to look for, man.
Phoenix Suns, 7-4, hot start. And just see where you go. I bet you'd find a few. But yeah, they were getting some attention, and I don't know if Devin Booker. I'll be honest with you, I don't know if Devin Booker is going to be able to do enough this weekend to command that kind of national attention to show the whole world see what a superstar I am. I don't think he has to either.
He's there.
Yeah,
I don't recognize enough.
I don't think we should go into this with the expectation that Devin Booker needs to do something big or bold or loud or strong to capture everybody's attention. He's there. That's enough for now. It'd be great.
He's going to play. He's going to get a basket.
If he went off for 20-something points, that'd be awesome. That's you talk about my dream scenario for when we come back in here next week to do this show. I hope we're back in here on, well, we have Monday off because of President's Day. I hope we're back in here on Tuesday, and we're talking about, man, not only did Devin Booker go to his first All-Star game, Devin Booker dropped 21 points for Team LeBron and could have been the MVP in Team LeBron's win. But that doesn't have to happen.
Let's go with this weekend
to be fantastic
all
for
right,
him.
Let's go with write it down. I don't even want to say it because I'm going to write points? Down what you think. What points, rebounds, assists for Devin Booker. Write it down. And then I'll write mine down, so that way we don't talk about it and give anybody, you know, any hope or anything.
Do you want to put where he's going to finish in the three-point contest?
No.
Too?
Okay. No.
Okay. Then never mind. We won't. Jordan, you do this too. Points, rebounds, assists.
All right. I got mine right there.
All right. I got mine too. You want to go first or you want me?
10 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists.
7 points, 1 rebound, 4 assists. Jordan?
7 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist.
Okay, like we're all between. So we're not that far off.
No, we're not. Nobody's like,
he's going to score 25.
No. 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, Jordan?
I got 10 points.
7 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist.
Okay. 10 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists.
You both have him getting more rebounds than assists.
Yeah, because all those other guys are going to be looking at fast break.
Dude, it's the All-Star game, man.
You grab the rebound. I'm running.
They
don't want to grab the rebound. It's not about the rebound.
Interesting.
I want to get going. I'm going to leave the rebound for Booker so I can run and get the fast break basket on the other end.
I'm looking forward to watching. I never in a gazillion years would have watched the All-Star game on Sunday. Now I can't wait to watch it. I'm really looking forward to watching
it. What time's it on?
4 o'clock, I think. 4 or 5 o'clock.
Okay.
4 or 5 o'clock on Sunday. And then, of course, the three-point shooting contest tomorrow, which he's obviously a big part of as well. So that's going to be a whole lot of fun. The NHRA Arizona Nationals racing back into the Valley on February 21st through the 23rd at Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park. And we're giving you the chance to win a 4-pack of tickets, plus a grand prize winner will also get a one-of-a-kind Nitro Burnout Zone experience. So visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com for your chance to win. In addition to having a top 10 pick, the Cardinals have some money to spend this offseason. What are Steve Keim's plans to spend it and with the draft? We'll go over those plans as we know them next on the Burns and Gambo Show.